Are you wanting me to do individual shots of all the teeth?
It's a quiet Friday afternoon as I arrive at the offices of Leonard Hopper at Deadwood Dental. With me are City Archivist Mike Runge and Catherine Lamy of the South Dakota State Historical Society. We're here to have x-rays taken of the mandible and cranium remnants of human remains found in Deadwood in 2012. Catherine Lamy was the forensic anthropologist on the scene when the remains were uncovered. As Dr. Hopper takes care of a last-minute emergency case, Lamy tells me what that experience was like.
There was a retaining wall project in March 2012. There's quite a large backhoe. I gave the backhoe operator quite the pep talk, and I said, whatever you do, don't hit the skull. That's what's going to tell us most about who this individual was. They always hit the skull.
This time, however, the impact was a bit lower.
It hit in the chest area and removed a portion of the chest, and the head kind of rolled out onto some of the soil. And at that point, I yelled for him to stop, and we tried to figure out what exactly was going on.
What was going on was that human remains consistent with a male of European ancestry between his late teens to early 20s, standing between 5 feet 5 inches and 5 feet 11 inches tall, had been uncovered. That preliminary identification was made after the remains were sent to Diane France, a Colorado-based forensic anthropologist.
They appear to have been hand-packed. Which was typical of direct gold fillings.
Today, Dr. Hopper will x-ray all of that young man's teeth before the mandible and cranium are sent to a forensic dentist in Georgia. He'll also offer his own conclusions on the young man's dental care and what might be deduced about his background.
We'll line up the sensor and we'll start and do a full mouth series of x-rays. We'll take shots all the way along each arch. Once we've got all those, then we can...
It turns out the biggest difficulty is finding a way to keep the x-ray sensors in place and position the teeth at just the right angle. Dr. Hopper tries scotch tape, cotton gauze, and paper towels. Nothing works until his assistant suggests one of the most reliable multi-purpose fix-it tools known to man. A rubber band.
This went pretty slick once we switched to the rubber band theory, huh?
You'll be presenting at the Nebraska School of Dentistry.
Yeah.
You may not run into this too often, but if you do...
A rubber band works wonders.
And that's not the only surprise Dr. Hopper is in for today. After a series of standard x-rays, followed by a panoramic x-ray of both upper and lower teeth, Dr. Hopper offers his observations, including comments on the 4 amalgam and 2 gold fillings in the teeth of the man now identified as Jackson in Deadwood Dental's patient files.
Yeah, he had a few active cavities yet that would have caused him more trouble in the future. Judging by the number of dental restorations he had had in combination with the missing and decayed teeth that he has, it's safe to say that the dental hygiene of the individual wasn't up to modern standards. Appears to have a high carbohydrate diet from the amount of decay present, but it would be hard to know how that would compare to other individuals of the time.
Dr. Hopper notes that it's obvious Jackson had regular access to a dentist at some point in his life prior to arriving in Deadwood. How long he remained in the Black Hills town without the availability of proper dental care prior to his death remains part of the ongoing investigation into who this man was. But regardless of those findings, Dr. Hopper points out that some of the same materials used to insulate and repair cavities today were used on the fillings in Jackson's teeth. Fillings that are still intact 130 years after Deadwood's heyday. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Jim Kent.